and verses 1 to 4 is what we're going to look at today. The title of the message is Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you please say that out loud? Say, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you please look to your neighbor and say, hey, what do I want to say? Let's. Hey, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Say this as a prayer. Say, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we'll give a little bit of understanding into this today. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. There's something about unity. There's something about coming together in one accord. There's something about believing together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Please say this out loud again. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just note a few things from the text here. Notice this. They heard the wind. They heard the wind and they saw the fire. In other words, they felt something. They experienced something. Aren't you glad today that your relationship with the Lord is not just intellectual? It's not a platonic relationship. No, you can experience the Lord. If you have a relationship with someone, you have an experience with them. And I want to just point out, I want you to take note of that as you look at the text, that they felt something. They saw something. They felt a wind. And they saw flames of fire that appeared over each one of them. In other words, there was an experience here. And I want you to really take note of that God wants you to have an experience with Him. That is okay. And maybe some grew up in a tradition that shied away from experience. Listen, I want you to know today, it is okay, and God wants you to have an experience with Him. He wants you to feel Him. He wants you to see the things of the Lord. And so they felt something, and they experienced something. And then notice this, they did something. They supernaturally, please say that word, supernaturally, yeah. They supernaturally spoke in other languages. They supernaturally spoke in other tongues. So they experienced something, they felt something, they saw something, but then they did something. They participated in this incredible experience, and it was a supernatural experience. Now, let me pause right there and just remind you that everything about the Christian life is supernatural. Think about that just for a moment. If you're a Christian today, then you believe in a virgin birth. That's pretty supernatural. You believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. That's pretty supernatural. And so when we talk about miracles, it's not a big step. It's not something outside the box. It's part of our Christian life. God is a God of the supernatural. God does the supernatural. And so the fact that they spoke in a supernatural language fits with the fact that this is a supernatural belief system. Amen, church? And so they did something. They supernaturally spoke in other languages, and their lives were changed forever. They were changed forever. So there was something about this experience that changed them forever. In other words, now they had power. They were transformed from timidity to power. They were transformed from hiding, being a bit nervous, to now having incredible confidence and power and boldness. Their entire life was changed. So that at the crucifixion, when they were hiding in fear, and understandably so, they didn't know what would happen to them, and they gathered with trepidation in the upper room, and they were seeking the Lord and praying, but also a bit fearful what was going to happen to them. They've been transformed completely into new people, if you will. They now have power. They now have boldness. They now have confidence. So you see at the resurrection that they are in a certain, they're acting a certain way. Now you read the book of Acts and everything is transformed. Their entire lives are changed. And so we see that they felt the wind of the Spirit. We see that they saw flames of fire, but they also participated. They did something in this experience. They spoke in other tongues. They supernaturally spoke in other languages. And so I want to drill down on the three things that are in this text. I want to talk about the power of the wind. Would you please say that? Say the power of the wind. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about the power of fire. Say that, the power of fire. And then I want to talk about the power of water. Say that, the power of water. The power of wind, the power of fire, and the power of water. You know, all throughout the Scripture, the Lord uses metaphors. He uses pictures so that He can ignite something in us, so that He can release faith in us. Every one of us can identify with an image. We can identify with a picture. We can identify with a metaphor. It makes that which He is trying to communicate to us come alive. Amen, church? And so the first thing I want to talk about is the power of the wind. And I want to put up this picture of a windmill. And I want this to be in your mind as we talk about the power of the wind. You can think of a windmill. You can think of the power of wind turbines. They are generating power. They generate electricity. And I want you to think in terms of that, because when the wind of the Holy Spirit comes, when He comes like a wind. And that generates incredible power. So the power of the wind. Now, there's a few things when we carry this from the Old Testament into the New Testament and we look at the Holy Spirit. I want to reference that wind has the power to create. Wind has the power to create. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, you would see that the Holy Spirit was right there at the beginning of creation. The Bible says that He was hovering over the void, over the emptiness. As He was hovering, think about that. I would venture to say it was like a wind moving over the waters, moving over the void, moving over. And then out of that wind, something begins to be created. Power creates. The wind creates. And so the Holy Spirit was right there at creation. He breathed, if you will, and He created. He created. So power creates. Power that creates is the power of the wind. But power also brings life. And I want to reference Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7, where God created mankind. He created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that He took Adam from dust. He took him from the clay. And He fashioned this body. He made this human form. But then the Bible says this, that God breathed life into him. In other words, that body didn't have life until God breathed in him. So the Holy Spirit was there at creation. He was there creating this world. And the Holy Spirit was there when Adam came to life, when God breathed life. And Adam became a living being, the Bible says. Now that's really important because as you look at the Scripture, the word for breath or the breath of God in the Hebrew is the word ruah. The word ruah means breath of God. And the word ruah can also be translated as wind. So it's synonymous. It's wind and breath. So the Holy Spirit's there at creation. The Holy Spirit is there breathing life into Adam, a living being. And ruah in the Hebrew is the breath of God. So in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6, it says that God created this world by His breath and by His word. He spoke it and He breathed. He spoke the word of God. And He breathed the wind of the Holy Spirit, the ruah of the Holy Spirit, and the world was created. He fashioned Adam and Eve out of clay, and then He spoke and breathed him into being. This living being became life because He breathed life. Amen, church? So there's power that creates. There's power that brings life. And there's power to be born again. Look at John chapter 3. And this one I want you to turn to. This is in John chapter 3. Now, I want you to reference what we've just talked about. The Holy Spirit being there at creation. The Holy Spirit breathing life. And Adam became a living being. The Ruah of God. The breath of God. Now, watch this in John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "If you tell the truth, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Please say that, born again. Now watch this, verse 4. "How can a man be born again? How can he be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." This is a powerful passage. Jesus equates the Holy Spirit to being like the wind. And so we can't see God with our eyes, but he's just like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. You can feel the wind blowing on you. And so he uses the metaphor of the wind. He uses the Holy Spirit. And then he uses this metaphor of being born again. It tripped up Nicodemus. He says, "How can I be born again?" He thought Jesus was being literal. Jesus was using a metaphor. He was speaking a spiritual truth. He said, "No, not naturally born again, but you're born again by the Spirit." And he references the Holy Spirit. And so there's power to be born again. The power of the wind, this idea of a windmill, this idea of a turbine that generates power. It's power that creates. It's power that brings life. But it's power to be born again. If you have received Christ as your personal Savior today, you're born again. If you're born again, say, "I'm born again. I'm born again." You became a new creation. You became new in Christ. And I want you to realize this, that when you received Christ, you received the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came inside of your spirit. And I want you to keep that in the backdrop of your thinking, because you're going to understand that you're born again by the Spirit, but you can also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you the difference of that. So everyone say, "The power of the wind." Say that, the power of wind. Now I also want to talk to you about the power of fire. So they felt the wind, but they saw flames of fire. And so I want to put up this image of a fire, and I want this to be in your mind as well. Now think about fire. Think about the things that fire does. Fire, you know, we need fire to survive. Fire produces warmth. Fire produces light. Fire gives us the ability to cook. Aren't you thankful for fire? And so the power of fire, I want this to be in your mind. Now two Old Testament scriptures I want to reference, just like I did with wind. There's power, when we talk about fire, there's power that separates. There's power that separates. And so you'll remember that when Moses was called by God to lead the people out of Egypt, as he was tending the flocks in the desert, the Bible says that he saw a burning bush. And God chose to reveal himself in fire. So he used this metaphor of a fire. And God said, God revealed himself in the fire to Moses, in that symbol of the fire, in that metaphor of the fire. Now you'll remember the story when Moses came to the burning bush. He hears the Lord speak out of the fire. Watch this. And God told him to remove his sandals because he was on holy ground. So there's power when there's fire. The power of fire separates. In other words, God separated him and said, I want you to be on holy ground. He said, take off your shoes, take off your sandals, because you are separated. You are in my presence. And my presence is very, very different than what you've experienced before. And so the fire, the power of fire, separates. Okay. Now, as the people come out of Egypt and God leads them through the desert, you'll remember, and you can find this in Exodus 13, verse 21, that the Lord reveals himself as a cloud and as a pillar of fire, and he leads them so that they'll know during the daytime where to go. His presence was in the cloud. So they would know that he was with them at night, and if they had to move at night, they would see a pillar of fire. The Holy Spirit was in the fire. So it was power that separated, but it was power for survival. Power for survival. In other words, that fire led them. That fire lit the way. That fire showed them where to go. But it's also fire for warmth. His presence was with them in the night. There was nothing to fear because the power and the presence of the Lord was there. So he led them by fire, but he also comforted them, gave them warmth. And we could add to that, just even being able to nourish them. They were able to cook food, if you will. Fire is incredible and so necessary for survival. So power separates, but power also for survival. Okay, this is the fire. Now let's carry this over into the New Testament. And now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Someone say, baptize in the Holy Spirit. Say that, baptize. Baptize in the Holy Spirit. Now, chapter 3 and verse 11. Okay. Now, this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And here's what he says. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Someone say, with fire. Say it, with fire, with fire. Okay? So he's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, fire separates. Fire brings survival, but fire purifies. Fire purifies. Okay? And I want to reference Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3 and verses 2 to 3, the Lord talks about the fact that he is a refiner's fire. So fire is light that guides. Fire brings warmth. Fire helps us survive by cooking. But fire is used for purification. So when the Lord says, hey, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but in this process, there's a separation that occurs. There's a power that is released in order to refine you. And so what the Near Eastern refiner would do is they would take gold or silver and they would put it in a cauldron. And then they would build a fire underneath that cauldron. And history documents that all of the impurities of the gold and the silver would rise to the top. And then they would take a billows and they would blow all of that film, the impurities, off to the side so that there would be the reflection, and the refiner could see his reflection now in pure gold. Do you realize that when God baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, he allows the impurities to rise, but then the wind comes to blow those impurities away, and then you will be a reflection of Jesus Christ. So he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Say that, fire. Say fire. Say fire. Okay. Now, we talk about being on fire. We use this as an expression. When somebody is on fire, they are in the zone. They are lit up. If you're an athlete and you are scoring or you're in the zone, people say, man, he or she is on fire. And we use that expression when we talk about the Lord as well. Christian, we might say, man, they are on fire for the Lord. What are we saying? We're saying they're in the zone. We're saying they are focused. We're saying they are so focused that they've been separated from everyone else. There's like this, they stand out because they're on fire. Just like Moses was separated, he was on fire. Just like the fire, the pillar of fire to lead into God. When we say somebody is on fire, they're in the zone, they are lit up, they are focused, they are on fire for the Lord. Can you say amen? And so the wind of the Holy Spirit comes. You can't see the wind, but oh, you can feel the wind. You can see what the wind does. If the Lord comes and touches you, you'll feel Him. And it might be so powerful, He knocks you to the ground, but you can feel Him. And then you'll see the fire. We'll see flames of fire, but you'll see somebody's life transformed because they're going to be on fire for the Lord. Amen? And they'll have been separated from the things of this world. Listen, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is such a focus that comes on you that you are so intense, you're so on fire that, listen, even the things that you were drawn to before in the world, you're not drawn to anymore because you have eyes for the kingdom. Come on, somebody. You're so filled and focused on the Lord that you are separated, sanctified, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You are focused on Him. You're in the zone. You are on fire. Amen, church? Someone say the wind. Say the wind. Say the fire. Say the fire. Come on, look to your neighbor and say the wind and the fire, the wind and the fire. And so I want you to have that in your mind, this idea of the wind. Let God speak to you in the picture of the wind. Let God speak to you in the picture of the fire. But let's talk about the power of water. And so I want to put this picture up of a river. This picture happens to be Niagara Falls. Incredible power. Now think about water. Think about how much we need water. We need water to survive. You've got to have water. 90% or more of your body is water. We need water. But think about what water does. Water generates electricity. Water generates raw power. And so I want this picture to be in your mind. Now, let me reference two Old Testament scriptures again, just like I did for wind and fire, and then I'll read a New Testament scripture for you. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, we're told about a man named Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy. And he had a servant who was working there, and she said, I just wish that you could meet the prophet of Israel, Elisha, because he could surely pray for you and you would be healed. And so he makes a trip to Israel. And Elisha tells him, I want you to go to the Jordan River and be baptized. Dip yourself in the river 7 times. Well, he left and he was offended by that. He went back to Aram, where he's from, and he said, man, we have much nicer rivers. In fact, that was a dirty river. And the people that were around him, they said, "Why? If the prophet had asked you to be baptized in one of our rivers, you would have done it. But because he asked you to baptize in that river, you're offended." Now, let me just give you a footnote here. I don't want you to be offended today. Now, everything about Christianity is supernatural. And sometimes when people hear about speaking in tongues and they hear about the power of the Holy Spirit, depending on your background, you might be offended by that. I don't want you to be offended. Do you realize that sometimes the Lord does something outside of our box in order to get our attention? Okay? And so he wants you to be baptized. And it may be really outside of your comfort zone. And you might be saying, well, you know, I don't know if I need that. I don't know if I want that. Listen, I respect you, and we all have different journeys in our Christian walk, but I'm just inviting you, and it might feel like that is so different to me, but would you just go ahead and say to the Lord, hey, whatever you want, Lord, I'll be dunked or immersed in the river, even if it's outside of my comfort zone, because I want the benefits of this. Amen, church? And so it is supernatural. There is no doubt. Everything about it is supernatural. And may I say this? I think a lot of people aren't comfortable with this. And because it's supernatural and it's not something they can explain or really itemize, what they do is they shy away from it. And I just want to encourage you, don't shy away from it. Because you can't explain a virgin birth, and you can't explain the resurrection of Christ, and you can't explain that he saved your sorry soul. Come on, somebody. But he saved you. He's so gracious. And so when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yeah, it's outside of your grid. But listen, be open to what the Holy Spirit wants for you. Amen? Amen. And then the Bible tells us that Naaman, when he dipped himself, when he was baptized in the Jordan River 7 times, he was totally healed from his leprosy. And so the power of water is the power to heal. Say that out loud, the power to heal. When the river of God comes, there is a power that heals. And all of us need healing. All of us have been broken. All of us have been exposed to the world and gone through different things. And no matter how long you have walked with the Lord, you're exposed to things and you get hurt. But I'm here to tell you today, the river heals. Hallelujah. The river heals. If you'll dip yourself into the river, you will be healed. Someone say, the power to heal, the power to heal. But when we talk about water, there's power to live. Say that out loud, the power to live. And I want to reference an incredible scripture in Ezekiel chapter 47. And this is when Ezekiel had an open vision. And in Ezekiel 47, the Bible tells us that Ezekiel saw the throne of God. And from the throne of God came this river. This river was flowing from the throne of God. Again, God speaks to us in pictures. We can relate to those things because in the natural we understand the power of a river. And so he saw the throne of God and he saw this river flowing from the throne of God. And the Bible describes this river that everything this river touched lived. And so all around this river there was lush vegetation and there was fruit growing. And everything the river touched, there was life, there was harvest. This is so powerful because what God is saying to you and I is that everything the river touches will live. And so he brings life. You know, Jesus talks about the fact that he wants to give us life and give us abundant life. And so when you receive and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's power that's generated, but God releases the life of the Holy Spirit. There's power to live. And that vision that Ezekiel saw, everything the river touched lived. Everything the river touched, it was healed. Just like healing was brought to Naaman. It brought healing and it brought life. And so water has the power to heal. Water has the power to live. But water, watch this, brings power to pray. I want you to keep that picture of water and rivers in your mind. And with that picture, I want to take you to John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. And Jesus, in his amazing way of teaching, just like when he spoke to Nicodemus, he said, you need to be born again. And he talked about the wind of the Spirit. Just like John, when he said Jesus is on his way and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why would he bring the imagery of fire? Well, because they understood what that represented. They understood from the natural what fire was all about. And so Jesus, in his incredible way of being able to communicate, he now uses water to talk about praying. He uses water as imagery. So in John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says this, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Wow, what powerful imagery. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Now don't forget, John chapter 3 talked about being born again and the wind of the Holy Spirit. Now suddenly he's talking about the power of the Spirit. Verse 39, he explains it. Again, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Another translation says, will flow from his belly, will flow from his inner man, will flow from his spirit. Streams of living water will flow from within. Then he explains, verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. He tells them, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and out of your belly, out of your inward man, out of your inner man, out of your spirit will flow rivers. Now remember, rivers heal. Remember, everything the river touches lives. But don't miss what he said. He says it'll come from inside of you. It'll come from inside of you. And that is very, very important. And so he says here, there is power to pray. There's power to flow and release the rivers that are inside of you. Now, I want you to tie all of this together. I want you to think about wind. I want you to think about fire. And I want you to think about the river. And in that, with that in mind, go back to the text and look again so that it's fresh in your mind. Acts chapter 2, he says in verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. And the whole came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the river of God was released out of them. They began to speak in tongues as they prayed. Okay? Now, connect all of those things together. Connect prayer. Connect what Jesus said, out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. Connect this idea of tongues. Okay? Now, God gives us power to pray. And I want to point out a few scriptures here that, first of all, you pray in the natural, but God wants your spirit to pray. See, you're more of a spirit than you are a natural being. Okay? Now, your soul's going to live forever, but not your body. This body will die. You'll get a new body. Thank the Lord for that. You'll get a new body. Your spirit is what's going to live forever. Now, we've been talking a lot, and you can find this again in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We've been talking about spirit, soul, and body. So you pray in the natural. You pray with your mind. But because you have a spirit, God wants you to be able to pray from your spirit. Okay. Now, a few pointers, and then I'm going to give you a visual that will help you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we can put it up on the screen. Verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, in a spiritual language, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Ever heard someone speaking in tongues and you're wondering, what is that person doing? Especially if it's new to you. And the first time I heard it, like, wow, that is really, really different. And then you speak in tongues and your mind doesn't even know what's being said. But you're thinking, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to show you some of the amazing reasons. But your mind is unfruitful. You don't know what your mind is saying. He says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. So God wants you to pray in English, in Spanish, whatever your heart language is. He wants you to pray with your mind, but he also wants you to pray with your spirit. Now, how do you pray in the spirit? You pray in the spirit with a supernatural tongue. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So when you are praying in tongues, your spirit is praying. When you're praying in your English language or whatever your heart language is, your mind is praying. But if you're praying in tongues, your spirit is praying. And so God wants your spirit to pray. Now, when you pray in the spirit, you're beginning to release life and power out of your inner spirit, out of your spirit, where the Holy Spirit is. You're releasing life and power. Your spirit is praying. Okay? Now, when your spirit prays, you're edified. You're built up. You may not understand what's going on in your mind, but your spirit is being built up. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So you build yourself up. In other words, as you're praying in tongues, it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence, and you will be built up. So what's happening? Your spirit's praying, not your mind, and you're being built up with confidence. Okay? Now again, stop right there. Don't be intimidated by that, because everything in the Christian life is supernatural. It's supernatural. And God's trying to get you into the spirit realm where some amazing things happen. He wants you to understand that. And so your spirit prays, you're edified, and then when you pray in a tongue, you build faith. So look at Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude, and verse 20. Jude 1 and verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. So you begin to see that when you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking in a tongue. So when he says pray in the Holy Spirit here, he's talking about praying in tongues. And what is he saying is happening? Let's pull that scripture up again. You're building yourself up in your holy faith. In other words, you're increasing faith. So speaking in tongues edifies you, gives you confidence. It also builds your faith. So speaking in tongues is a powerful thing to pray in the Spirit. And the last thing that I just want to encourage you with is when you speak in tongues, you realize you have a powerful weapon. You have a powerful weapon. How do I know that? Well, Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says this, that God wants us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This chapter is the chapter on spiritual armor. And so this weapon that not too many people talk about, we talk about the helmet of salvation, we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, we talk about the sword of the Spirit, but we don't talk very often about praying in the Holy Spirit. It's really a secret weapon. And notice this, it's a spiritual weapon. Why? Because you need a spiritual gift for spiritual battle. You need a spiritual gift. You need a spiritual weapon for a spiritual battle. You can do things in the natural, but you need something in the Spirit. So God wants you to pray in the Spirit. When you pray in another tongue, your spirit prays. When you pray in another tongue, it edifies you. It gives you confidence. When you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up and gives you more faith. And when you pray in the Spirit, you have this ability now to step into the spirit realm and do warfare. It's a powerful weapon. Amen. Now that is an exciting thing to me. I want those things released in my life. When I pray in the Spirit, I want rivers to be released, that everything I touch lives. Everything I touch is healed. When I pray in the Spirit, I want to be built up and have confidence. And I pray in the Spirit, I want my faith to increase. And when I pray in the Spirit, I want to tap into the spiritual power that God has given me, a spiritual weapon for a spiritual battle so that I can accomplish things here on earth. Shout amen, church. Amen. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Someone say, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Say this, the power of wind. Say the power of fire. Say the power of water, the power of water. So I want to put up this diagram here of spirit, soul, and body. So everyone say it again. Say the wind, the wind. Say the fire, say the water. Okay. Now, we've been talking a lot lately about spirit, soul, and body. So I just want this I want you to have this visual because I think it'll really help you. So in your spirit, you're born again. Remember I said keep in the backdrop of your thinking that when you're born again, you do receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Okay, so don't misunderstand. When we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit when you were born again. Okay, now in John chapter 20 and verses 21 to 22, Jesus says, hey, I'm going to send you the disciples. He says, I'm going to send you out. And the Bible says that he breathes on them. You can find that in John chapter 20, verses 21 to 22. So he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. But we know they have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet until Acts chapter 2. So what is happening there? They're being born again. He's saying, receive the Holy Spirit. We all receive the Holy Spirit when we're born again. And we have the river inside of us. So the Spirit of God is inside of us. We've talked about spirit, soul, and body. When you're born again, your spirit is full of the Holy Spirit there. And you have all the potential. The river is there. It can be released out of you. Okay? Now, the soul, we have said, is our intellect and our emotions and our will. And we've taught on this, where the river, God wants to release the river through our soul and into our body. Some things block it. We see a barrier. And the more you open up that valve, the more the Holy Spirit will flow into your life. Okay? Now, unfortunately, through the physical realm, there's a lot of pollution that comes from the world. And that's going to clog up your thinking. It's going to clog up your perception of yourself. You'll feel inadequate. You'll feel insecure. You've made mistakes. All of those things affect us. We will be bombarded with the pollution of the world. So we're in the middle of a battle. Your soul, you can open up the valve and receive more of the river into your soul, or you can receive more pollution into your soul. What you need to do is turn the valve off to pollution. Come on, somebody. Open up the valve to the river of the Spirit and allow that to begin to flow. Now, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you'll see that I have here like a valve. It's like it's an opening. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and don't forget, the word baptism means immersion, to be just immersed in the Holy Spirit. So you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes all over you, in you. You're in the river. Think of that term just being just like when you were baptized in water, but now you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. When that happens, the floodgates open. The floodgates open and the river begins to be released into your soul and even into your physical realm, into your body. So now keep this thought in mind, that the terms that we spoke of, that everything the river touches is healed. Amen. Everything the river touches lives. Amen. So God's desire is that the river in your spirit would be released into your soul and it would touch your intellect, your emotions, and your will, and even flow into your body so that you'd be healed and everything you touch will live. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because there is this connection of a supernatural language that helps release and open the valve and the floodgates. So you have the river on the inside of you. But watch this. Don't forget John chapter 7. And I should have put that down there. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38 there. When Jesus says, when I pray, or when I pray in the Spirit, that rivers will be released out of my spirit and into this realm. Amen. So, if you will, the key to unlock the floodgates of heaven is this ability to speak in tongues. And so as you pray, you're releasing the river of the Holy Spirit into your intellect and emotions and will, and even into the physical realm. So the river of life flows out of you, out of your inner spirit, out of your belly, Jesus said, out of the innermost part of your being, flows out of you. And what activates that and is the key to release it is this ability to speak in tongues and pray in another language. And everything then you touch is healed. Everything you touch brings life, and it's abundant life. Amen. Can you say amen, church? Come on, shout hallelujah if you believe that. Oh, glory to Jesus. Someone say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Say baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.